So we talked about the Good Shepherd. We talked about hearing from God. We talked about hearing this call from God. We talked about the immediateness of our situation not allowing us to hear from God. Because we're so focused on whether we can pay bills this month. We're so focused on whether we can eat today. We're so focused on family life, your kids, your in-laws, your parents whom you may not get along with. We're so focused on the immediate that that just quiets this voice of God. And so we sat and we prayed, God, speak. God, we want to hear you. We want to put the immediate behind this. And so we come off of this Good Shepherd story and we come off of Jesus talking to these Pharisees who asked the question, a very stupid question, what are we blind to? Yeah. And he's still talking to them. He's still talking to them in the second half of chapter 10. Can we read it? Can we read it? So in John chapter 10, if you don't have a Bible, I want to give you a Bible. Can I give you a Bible? There's two sitting out on the table there. I think we have another whole box coming in an order. And I want to apologize to any of you that have taken those Bibles because we realized that the font on them was like 0.4. Really terrible. And so we got some that are 12 point. It's going to be awesome. So anyway, if you need a Bible, there's Bibles out there. They're free to take. You can have them. If you have a phone, please download one. There's one great one from YouVersion, and there's another one from Bible Gateway that will get the job done. And you guys, it's free, and you have all these Bibles at your disposal. So don't starve yourself to death by not having a Bible and reading it. Deal? Dealio. Here we go. John 10. Jesus, he then came to the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts walking in Solomon's colonnade. Sounds great. The Jews who were there gathered around him, saying, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you were the Messiah, tell us plainly. Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep, like we talked about last week. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Here's Jesus telling them again who he is. He's God here on earth. Again, his Jewish opponents picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus said to them, I've shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these do you stone me? We are not stoning you for any good work, they replied, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, I have said, you are gods? If he called them gods, to whom the word of God came, and scripture cannot be set aside, what about the one whom the Father set apart as his very own and sent into the world? Why then do you accuse me of blasphemy because I said, I am God's son? Do not believe me unless I do the works of my Father. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, so that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father. Again, they tried to seize him, but he escaped their grasps. Jesus was like Houdini back in the day, I guess. I don't know. It's classic Jesus, always slipping away. Then Jesus went back across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing in the early days. And if you remember, this is when Jesus' ministry kicked off. Was it this Jordan? Was it with John? And there he stayed. And many people came to him. They said, though John never performed a sign, all that John said about this man was true. And in that place, many believed in Jesus. So what you see here really isn't anything different than what we've been covering, right? Jesus does a miracle. The Pharisees come and get really angry with him about it. They want to know who he is, so they ask him a question. He answers the question, They get mad. They want to stone him. Jesus does this Houdini thing and just slips away. Jesus brings in, they bring a woman to Jesus who's caught in adultery in the middle of the act with the disheveled sex hair. You know what I'm talking about. My hair always looks great all the time.
I don't have any.
The goatee, the beard, man. It could get messy. And Jesus blows their mind by not accepting their charges against this woman. And he turns it around on them and says, well, hey, any of you that have sinned, you know, you go ahead and throw the first stone. And they drop their stones and they walk away. Jesus talks to a Samaritan woman at a well, and that's a big no-no. And she comes to find who Jesus is and believes in Jesus and his mission and his story. He heals a crippled man on the Sabbath and the blind man. There's two of them. There's crippled and the blind. You got it. Heals both of these men, a crippled man and a blind man, both that happened to land on a Sabbath. You would think Jesus would have learned on the first time he healed someone on the Sabbath and they were angry, but I think he just wanted to poke them with a stick a little bit, like, check this out. I did. That's right. So he heals these men. One was blind and now can see, and one was crippled from birth and now he can walk and he's good. And these people, these Pharisees, they get angry with Jesus because he broke the law. He broke the rules of the Sabbath. And they want to stone him. And every time, I mean, this story isn't really changing. It's the same story, just different day. Same crap, different day. And Jesus is always under fire from these Pharisees who think they know better, who get upset because their concept of who God is and who the Messiah is, and that's really what they're asking Jesus, who are you? Are you the Messiah? And Jesus claims, yes, I'm the Messiah. Not only that, but I and God are one. As we've read about from the first chapter in John, when it just says, the Word was God, the Word was with God, the Word was God. And so it's the same story, over and over. And over and over. And you'd think they'd wise up and learn, especially when he answers them just straightforward. So then we read about it again in chapter 10. And I could give you all the gold of, you know, what this certain festival is. You want to know what the festival is that they're talking about? It's Hanukkah. It was a rededication of the temple. I could give you all this stuff. I could give you all these things that I have in my notes right now. But the story goes and goes and goes. God, who are you? And he tells them directly, point blank, I am God. I am Jesus. There's no other way through to God but through me. I am life. I am the light of the world. I am Jesus. I am God. And they get angry because their preconceived notion of who God was and how he was going to come, or who this Messiah was and what this Messiah was going to do, was going to establish this massive kingdom on earth and was going to reign as king. And so when Jesus comes healing people and even putting their own prophecies and their own words, look, this is me. And he's quoting the psalmists and he's quoting all these people. I'm the guy they're talking about. These Pharisees still have a hard time hearing. These Jewish people have a hard time buying this. These people have a hard time seeing Jesus for who Jesus is because of whatever preconceived notion they had of Jesus. And that's when I paused and I said, man, what are my preconceived notions of who Jesus is? And is that the source of my tension with my faith? A couple years ago, I took a motorcycle trip with Craig, and we went to see a good buddy of mine in Iowa. And that trip was interesting because we stopped at a wedding for a buddy of mine that had been in prison for a long time and got married in prison. No, just kidding. A buddy of mine had been in prison, had gotten his life turned around and was out and gotten married. And from Iowa, you know, we're talking about the nastiness of ministry, which essentially what we were talking about is Christianity as a whole. We didn't understand it necessarily. We didn't grasp it necessarily. And then I go to this wedding, and I'm hearing some people. My buddy has a lot of family members within the ministry, and so I'm talking to them, and they're just giving me horror stories of their different churches in Omaha and in Lincoln. Which one, Omaha or Lincoln? Lincoln. Are you a Huskers fan? Okay, all right. Lincoln's cool. They got a spaghetti factory. I don't know. They have arcade games. Am I thinking of the same place, or is it Pizza Factory? Oh, okay. Omaha's cool then. I don't even know where I was at now. So yeah. So we're sharing these stories and these horror stories, and there's a, you know, 7 hour ride home, 7 or 8 hours ride home from Lincoln to Laramie. On the motorcycle, I don't have any headphones. It's just me and God, and my thoughts on God. And I'm sitting here processing this life, this life that I thought I knew about, this life that I thought I had figured out, this life of Christianity, this whole thing. I had it figured out. And then God starts to unravel all of these things within me and says, no, you really don't have it figured out. The very thing that you're upset with ministry, the very thing and the hardships and the all of these things, that is what I've called you to. I've called you to be a sacrifice for people. Is that going to be tough? Yeah. Is that going to hurt sometimes? Yeah. You guys know what a sacrifice is, right? It's an animal that was once living and then they kill it. I've called you to this thing, this great work, this incredible, joyous, beautiful thing. And you didn't understand what you were getting called into in the first place. Because your notion, much like these Pharisees, of the Messiah and what he was going to do for them, isn't right. And so instead of asking me what this beautiful thing is, this life in Christ, this mission that you're on, this... You get mad, and like the Pharisees, you don't want to hear what I have to say. You'd rather pick up a stone and start chucking it. God, this is hard. I don't know if that was good form. I am not a sports guy. God, these people you gave me are stubborn. God, Christianity is not all that it's cracked up to be. And so I had these misconceptions of God. I had these misconceptions of what we are doing here. And it sucks because I find myself siding with the Pharisees more than I find myself siding with the sheep that hear and are just obedient and follow Jesus into pastures and do well. And even in the midst of the Pharisees picking up stones to kill him, to stone him, he says, look, I love you so much that I'm going to try again with you. And if you don't believe me, think of all the things that I've done. Think of all the things that I have done that look like God, that look like the power of him. Believe those things. And so it really comes down to the question of the sovereignty of God and our faith in that sovereignty. And fortunately, God has not left me alone, so I'm able to just continue to throw stones. God continues to speak into my situation and continues to let me know, Adam, this thing that I called you into is very beautiful and very painful. Look at the price Jesus had to pay, as we'll hear about in the next coming weeks. Easter, if you come for Easter, you'll hear the Easter story. But things turned out really good for Jesus, didn't they? Eventually. But he was killed for this thing, this mission. And I'm not saying that's our mission. I'm not saying that all of us are going to be slaughtered for what we believe. But understanding this, recognizing this, and seeing God for who God is love, God is light, God is a healer, God is a miracle worker. Next week, Craig's going to be talking to you about Lazarus, which is miraculous because he takes not just a lame man or a blind man and heals those things, which are incredible in and of themselves, but he takes someone who's dead for days, calls him by name, and this man walks out of a tomb. So Jesus is this Jesus is life. I don't know how else to describe it. This is the thing that I've been praying that you hear. For those of you that don't know Jesus, I am praying you hear this. Jesus is life. For those of you that do know Jesus and act like I act sometimes and I don't understand Jesus and I get really angry with him. God, why would you do this to me? I sound like a big baby. If you would hear my private conversations with God, you'd be like, golly, that big baby. Hey, I'm amongst friends. God, why would you do this to me? Why would you allow something like this? We were at a concert last night. There's a band called Penny and Sparrow. If you didn't go, Gus and Chantel. Gus and Chantel wanted to go play shuffleboard last night instead of going to a show. Everybody say boo. Penny and Sparrow, the song that we sing here called Creature. Love it or hate it, these guys are talented people, and they are awesome. I really enjoy them. But they were here, and they sing some of the most darkest of songs about the reality of life. And then in the middle of these songs, and in between these songs, these guys have a joy within them that is ridiculous. And they're very subversive because they know Jesus, and they know his goodness, and they know his joy. But yet they also recognize this life is not an easy thing. And so as we reconcile God's sovereignty with our faith, faith is not an easy thing sometimes. That doesn't stop God from trying to the very end, even with stones in our hand. It doesn't stop him from saying, look, if just believe in me. Have faith in me. Because he is love, he is light. He is good. He is life. And so maybe today you need this redefinition of who God is or what God is. Maybe God's just, up until this point in your eyes, been a judgmental prick. And that's why you don't follow him, and you don't even know why you're here this morning. For some of you, maybe God has just been this puppet master of leading you around in this weird roller coaster of a life, and you don't understand it, and you hate it. For some of you, maybe you've given up on that life that you thought you understood about Jesus because it was a difficult thing, because it wasn't this thing that you thought it should be or could be. And the hardest part is allowing God to redefine this for you. That's the tension. God, tell me who you are. I'm going to tell you, but you might not like it. God, show me what I need to be doing. I'm going to show you, but you might not like it. God, teach me your ways. Okay. But it's going to cost you something. So our goal this morning is to just spend some time in prayer with God. God, redefine my life. God, redefine my faith in you. Redefine this thing that I may not even have faith in you, God, but I want you to define this for me so that I can go on in eyes wide open and count the cost and say, yes, this is it. This is the it for me. Let's spend some time in prayer. God, the questions that we've asked of you in the last 2 weeks are dangerous in nature. God, the questions that we've asked of you in the last 2 weeks through prayer are exposing. God, asking you to speak that we may hear you. Is a bold thing. God, asking you to speak to define our life within Jesus. God, as he has described himself as the light of the world, as he's described himself as the good shepherd, as he described eternity, as he described his life sold out to God and his plan and his desires and his wills and not his own. God, to pray these things to make us look like Jesus. Are bold and dangerous. God, this life you've invited us into and this life you call us to and this life that people continue to answer the call to 2,000 plus years later. Changes worlds. Changes us at our core. Changes how we love you. Changes how we love others. God, changes how we see you and changes how we see others. And God, you go down to the very end, even as we have stones in our hand, from whatever reason, God, whether we claim to know you today, whether we claim to not know you today, whether we claim indifference to you, God, we come with stones in our hands to throw at whatever it is that you might have for us. God, is just as the woman caught in adultery was standing there and heard stones drop one by one, as Jesus presented the truth, as Jesus spoke truth and love and grace and mercy. God, as we hear these things, as we hear your truth being spoken, as we hear your definition of what we are and who we are and how we should proceed, God, may our stones just fall from our hands. God, may we give up trying to tell you who you are and how you're allowed in our lives. May we give that up. May we only rely on your definition. God, I know you're faithful to speak when we ask. I know you're faithful to speak to these people. You prove it time and time again. God, I ask that when your voice is heard, the answer is yes. God, that you would knock down any barrier, any excuse, any stone that we might throw, and the answer would just be yes. God, thank you for loving us so fiercely. Thank you for loving us so much, even as we try to kill you. Even as we try to silence you, you love us. Redefine us, God. Redefine our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen.